explained the story, and if you remember, he got down and he began to write in the dust. Done powerfully, I thought, in the Passion movie. He didn't say anything initially. And then he said, let the one without sin throw a stone, or throw a stone first. And then it says, from the oldest to the youngest, they laughed. That's clearly rabbinic, because the young disciples are not going to do anything till the older ones, because the older ones are wiser. So there's clearly a rabbinic. Now, what did Jesus write? I have no idea. But several Jewish thinkers have suggested this. There's a remez there. Did you know the Old Testament describes a group of people whose names will be written in the dust? Look it up. It's in Jeremiah. So if he started writing in the dust, people would have immediately thought, the Bible. This isn't what kind of a game is he playing. It's, he's talking the text. He's a rabbi. Well, what does Jeremiah say? The bigger context of Jeremiah is care for those who are oppressed. And the immediate context is God will avenge the sinner. Don't you do it. And I think when Jesus started writing in the dust, they thought, oi, we're supposed to protect the innocent and we're supposed to leave vengeance to God. And if we don't, our names will be written in the dust. Let's leave. I think that that's a good possibility. I won't tell you that's for sure it, but I like that better than a lot of explanations. Anyway, look at it yourself. Think about it. I think that's a compelling possibility. And look up the passage, but read the whole context in Jeremiah, not just two verses before and after. Look at the chapter before and the chapter after and see what you would have thought if you knew that Jeremiah said your name will be written in the dust. Some versions say in the dirt. NIV, I think, is dust. Anyway, so that's the kind of teaching Jesus did. And then one morning, I think it was morning, he said, come, let's go. And away the rabbi went. Now, if you look at the map, he left his little village on the... Oops. Sorry. I hope this wasn't some precious incense. Sorry. He left his little village... Don't worry, it doesn't embarrass me. My students, I do this in school all the time. I fall over stuff, and I'm so distracted that this doesn't bother me at all. By the way, I had another dream last night. I dreamt I ate 20 pounds of marshmallows, and I woke up, my pillow was gone. Just kidding. Jesus left his little village and walk north about 28 miles. Now, it intrigues me that in that 28 miles, he doesn't do any teaching that is recorded in the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't teach, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out someday that he didn't say a word, because the lesson he's going to teach is so much wrapped up in where he's taking them that it would not be at all odd for a rabbi to say, come on, let's go, and to walk 28 miles without telling the disciples where you're going. I've seen it. I mean, not 28 miles, but I've seen that in practice. And the idea is you get so focused on why are we here? What are we supposed to be seeing? Where are we going? What does he want to teach us? That you're consumed to figure it out. And when he finally says it, it blows you away. He then teaches him and then walks back. And nothing is recorded in between the walk when he leaves the north and comes back. So let's go with them on that walk. It's a beautiful walk. You leave the Sea of Galilee. You see it in the distance. This group is walking the wrong way. But you leave the Sea of Galilee and go north. And I think those disciples all walk that distance pretty much just listening. You walk along to one another. I mean, you walk along the Rift Valley and head north until you get to the northern end of the land that was promised to Abraham that David had as his kingdom, to the foot of Mount Hermon, which is snow-covered about 10 months a year. And so it probably was snow-covered then as well. As they were walking, they came to the sources of the Jordan River. There are four of them. This is the second one from